Tonight it gives me great pleasure to welcome to our family night our brother Kyle Boyd. Kyle is a member of our Crossgar congregation. Crossgar was the first church that came into being 60 years ago when the church was founded in 1951 on the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day. It was many years ago. Very soon after it, I understand Ravenhill Road came in and then Cabra came in. There's been a little dispute over the years which one was actually the second and which was the third, but we were there at the beginning along with Crossgar, and we do rejoice with them in the 60 years of history that they have been celebrating this year too. I heard about Kyle some time ago. He was recommended to me to come and give a testimony here in Ballymoney. Our brother John Curry, he heard him last year, I think it was John, and he went over to Limavady, maybe the summertime, and heard Kyle give his testimony, and John also recommended him to come along to Ballymoney. We're delighted that he's here, and he has a story to tell of the grace of Almighty God that has triumphed in his life. I want you to give your attention, give your heart over to this part of the meeting, and may God speak to us through his word, and speak through the testimony that will be given. I trust it will be a blessing.
It's great to be with you tonight, and I just want to thank Graham Park for the invitation to come. Just to really tell of what the Lord has done for me. Not what I have done for the Lord, but truly what he has done for me. And I'm just mystified because this is the first church that I've been in that the seats have been sofas. And I didn't want to lean back too quickly because I might get too comfy. And I might try and see if we can get them in Crossgar. And I think it would be a good addition. But tonight, really, I'm here to tell my testimony. And really, I could give my testimony in about 5 seconds. Now, I won't, but I could. And it's this. God loves us, but we blew it. Christ paid for it, but we must receive him. God loves us, we blew it. Christ paid for it, and we must receive him. You see, I received the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart when I was 4 years old. I am a Christian. And I can faithfully say that it's been the best decision that I have ever made. But to get to that point, I decided to do things a little bit differently. See, I was born on the 15th of March, 1985, into a Christian family. And I was 10 weeks premature. Now, you know, I would say that probably that wasn't the best decision that I've ever made in my life, because I was supposed to be born sometime in May, but I decided in all my good wisdom that I'd be born in March. But it left me very, very ill. I was so small that my father, he used to be able to hold me in his hand, and my head would be at the tip of his finger, and my legs would just be at his wrist. And literally I was in the palm of my father's hand. And in those early months, my mother and father were the only ones really that were allowed to come and see me because of my condition. And my grandparents had to look at me through a glass window because I was so small and fragile. And after a few months, my mum realised that there was something wrong with me. She realised that I couldn't sit up. And after about a year and a half, she decided that there was something seriously wrong. She used to try and set me up, and I would fall down, and she would set me up, and I would fall down again. And she decided to take me to the hospital, and that wasn't a very big thing, because I had been there so many times before, because of my premature birth. And just before my mum and dad were due to go, well, they actually went, and they did some tests, and then a couple of weeks later, they said, okay, you can come now, and you can hopefully find out the diagnosis of what is wrong with your son. And my grandmother, who just passed away just last month, she was on her way to work. And my grandmother had a really brilliant testimony. She never missed an opportunity. Never. The man came to lay carpet at her house. She was straight in there. Are you seeing? Do you know the Lord? And my grandmother was on her way to work, and she was doing her daily reading on the way to work, and she worked in Belfast at the time, and this is in the mid-1980s. Things weren't good in our country, and there was my girlie on the bus to work with with their Bible open, reading the scriptures. And she came across this reading, and I'm just going to read it to you now. It's called Welcoming a Special Child. A meeting was held quite far from earth. It's time again for another birth. Said the angels to the Lord above, this special child will need much love. He may not run or laugh or play. His thoughts may seem quite far away. In many ways he won't adapt, and he'll be known as handicapped. So let's be careful where he's sent. We want his life to be content. Please, Lord, find the parents who will do a special job for you. They will not realize right away the leading role they're asked to play. But with this child sent from above comes stronger faith and richer love. And soon they'll know the privilege given in caring for their gift from heaven. Their precious charge, so meek and mild, is heaven's very special child. You see, my grandmother knew before the doctors knew that I was going to be handicapped and that I was going to have cerebral palsy. And that's what's wrong with me. It just means that I can get about. Really what happened was when I was born, I suffered a stroke. In the birth canal, I was starved of oxygen. And then that sort of hindered my development. And really, it's left me with brain damage. And then it means that I can't really walk that well. But if I'm honest, I think 100 metres is kind of overrated anyway. You know, what's the point in walking when you can sit down? You know, I'm kind of all on for that. But it never, it hasn't really stopped me. And the doctors at those early days of my life, really from the age of 2, 3 and 4, up to the age of 8, I had major surgery on my legs. And I used to, my condition means that my legs are very tight and they spasm a lot. So the doctors, they used to try and lengthen those by taking my tendons and trying to stretch them. And it enabled me to walk. And it was great to know that after this happened, in later years, I found out that the surgeon who was working on my body was indeed a believer. And it wasn't long after major surgery, about the age of 4, that I began to walk, which really is a miracle even in itself. Because it says even in 2 Samuel 22 and 33, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. You know, God's hand was upon me all those years ago. And I didn't know that then. You know, my congregation and my friends and family were praying for me. And I just thank God every day for that, because prayers are special and we should be in communion with God every day, because he is our best friend and he's done so much for me. And just even in those early years, he helped me. And you know, I had major surgery, like I've said, 3 or 4 times, and that resulted in having physiotherapy every single week. And you know, my mother used to take me every single week to have physiotherapy and to enable me to be able to walk. And you know, it means that I can get about and do the things that I need to do. But around the age of 3 and 4, my father was involved in the children's work in Crossgar. And of course, you know, I was sent along just like any other child. And to be honest, I had a better social life when I was younger than I do now, because I used to go to a meeting on a Tuesday night, and then I would go to my own children's meeting on a Wednesday night, and then on a Friday night I would go to my granny's children's meeting, and then on a Saturday night I would go somewhere else, and then I had my church services on a Sunday. I was out all the time, and I loved it. You know, doing the quizzes, learning about things in the Bible, learning about those greats in the Bible, Moses and Noah and Jonah. And it was around that time that I began to understand who God was. And I knew there was this place called heaven and there was this place called hell. And I wanted to stay away from hell. Hell was a bad place. But heaven seemed a wonderful place. That's where God lived. And where the streets were paved with gold and there was no sickness or no crying or nothing like that. Heaven was perfect. And it was around that time that I got a Sunday school prize. And it was a book, a story book, about a little guy called Johnny. And Johnny was much like me. He sometimes misbehaved, sometimes he did good, but Johnny had 3 other brothers. And Johnny used to go to Sunday school. But Johnny didn't really like it, because it was a wee bit boring. But one time, Johnny was at church, and he was at Sunday school. And he was there, and after the meeting, his mum said, "Johnny, we're going to Mr. Martin's house for Sunday lunch." And Johnny thought, brilliant. And he was thinking about this as he was in Sunday school. And then he said, it would be great if I could go in Mr. Martin's car. So after Sunday school finished, he went to his mother and he said, Mum, can I come and go in Mr. Martin's car to go to his house for Sunday lunch? And Johnny's mum said, that's no problem, Johnny. You can go, no problem at all. So Johnny ran from the front of the church to the back of the church into the car park, and Johnny was lost. Everybody had left him. Everybody was gone. Johnny was on his own. He was lost. Whenever I was younger, being lost used to frighten me. And I knew that if I didn't accept the Lord Jesus as my Saviour, that I would be lost forever. And I knew that my mum and dad were saved, and that my sister was saved. And if I was to die in my sin, that I would be lost forever. And that used to really frighten me, because it says in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as it says in Hebrews 9 and 27, and as it is appointed on the man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I knew that if I died of my sin, that I would face God, and I'd be judged, and if I hadn't accepted him as my Saviour, that I would be lost forever. But I soon learned that there was something I could do about that. It was to accept the Lord Jesus as my Saviour, to realise I was a sinner, and to put that away, and to come to Jesus. Just like it says in Acts 16 and 31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's what I did. At the age of 4 years old, at my bedside, I got down on my knees, and I cried unto God and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, save me. And like I've said, I can faithfully say that it's the best decision that I have ever made. Because I let God down many times, but God never lets me down. You know, if I believe in his name, he gives me strength. And I just thank him so much for being in control of my life. Even before when I was born and all the problems that I had, he was in control. And even through me becoming a Christian, he was in control. And I just thank God for that. And I pray that if anybody is outside of Christ tonight, maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Well, I pray even through my testimony and through the Lord's doing that you will come and know him as your Savior. But around, whenever I could see it, I was about 4 years old, and I started primary school. And being a Christian in primary school is pretty easy, because I used to say to people, I'm a Christian. And they would say, that's brilliant. Do you want to play chasies? Okay. And that's all. Nobody really ever asked anything about what a Christian was or what that meant. And through my primary school years, it was kind of easy, I have to say. Whenever I got to secondary school, things started to get a little bit difficult. You see, because of my condition, I'd have special things in school, and I'd have like an assistant who helped me. Now, that was good in some ways, because she carried your bag for you everywhere. So it was brilliant, especially in the later years when you had the folders and more books. She would have carried it for you everywhere, and you know, you just give it to her. But it wasn't cool when you were trying to fit in and be cool and, you know, maybe chat up a few girls, and there was this woman in the back constantly watching you, that you might fall. And it was hard to fit in. And I used to try and fit in, because I used to try and make jokes or be funny. And I found it hard. And I can say that the Christian faith that I had, it dropped. I didn't do anything really wrong. I didn't start smoking or drinking. And I thank God for that. But I just lost that desire that I had for God. I just lost that part, just his presence with me, because I became disheartened. Because I used to ask myself, you know, Lord, why can I not play football like everybody else? Or why can't I run like everybody else? Or why can't I just walk normally like everybody else? Why do I have to walk with a gait so that when I walk into a restaurant or when I walk into church, if people don't know me, they look at me? And I used to really question God about that. It used to really bother me. But my mother, she gave me a special verse. And if you would just like to turn it, I'm going to read the chapter. It's just in Psalm chapter 139. It's just one special verse, but I'm just going to read the chapter just to get a feel for it. Psalm 139, starting at the verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. For thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover even the night, shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! And my mum gave me that verse in Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And that was such a blessing to me, because I knew that the Lord, like it says in this chapter, knew me before I was even created. Even before my substance was made, he was in control. He was looking after me and all my members. And you know, when I looked at that verse, I said to myself, it doesn't matter what way I'm created or made or the way that I walk, the Lord Jesus loves me for who I am, and he will give me a job to do, or he'll help me in all that I need to accomplish. And that was a great blessing to me. And it really just revived me, and it helped me to deal with my condition. But yet I have to say that I never blamed God. I used to just question why I had to walk like this, but I knew that there was some reason. And I'll go on to explain that in a moment. But after that time, when I was 15 and 16, I began then to wonder what I was going to do whenever I left school. And at the time, all of my mates were like, I'm going to be a bricklayer, and I'm going to be a joiner, and I'm going to be an electrician. And I was like, well, I'm not going to be any of those things, because if you can imagine me in a building site, I'm not too steady on my feet, and I probably spend more time on the floor on the building site than actually doing any work. So I knew that I couldn't be a tradesman of some sort, and that I'd have to use the limited brains that I had. So after I finished my GCSEs, I decided to go to college to do information communication technology, which is just like we'll work with computers. And I had this in my head that I was going to go to the college in Lisburn to do this. Really, it's like an A-level standard of this course. And I filled out my forms and sent them all off in the post. And I said, brilliant, I'm all ready. I'll just wait to hear from them now. Everything will be brilliant. And July came and there was nothing. And August came and there was nothing. And then end August came and there was still nothing. I thought, maybe it's got lost in the post. And I said to my dad, Dad, we better go down to the college in Lisburn just to make sure that everything's all right and to know that I want to come and do this course here in Lisburn. And my dad says, no problem. We drove down, and as soon as I went into the college, I had a bad feeling just about it. And I met the lady, and she wasn't very nice. And I said, have you got my application form? And she says, no, we never received it. And we talked a little, and then she says, okay, we'll try and get it sorted out. And just as I was leaving, I just knew that there was something not right. And my dad says, what's wrong? And I just said, Dad, there's just something not right. And he says, well, can you do the course somewhere else? And I says, well, Dad, yes, we could. There's a college in Downpatrick, and we could do it there, because I live in Ballinch, and it's not too far away. But I had this fear of going to Downpatrick, because it's a largely Roman Catholic area. And I had this fear that if I went there, that something would happen to me, or that I wouldn't enjoy it. And we went to the college in Downpatrick the same day. We drove straight there, and we went in, and we met this man, and I says, I would like to do this course. And he says, no problem. He says, have you got 5 C's? And I says, yes, I have. And he says, okay, you start on Monday. Just like that. And that was the Lord opening the door for me. You see, the problem was I was afraid, because I didn't know how I was going to cope in this college. And I said, "Oh Lord, please, Lord, help me to proclaim your name, to tell someone that I'm a Christian," because that's what had happened to me in school, in high school. I had let the Lord down because I had never told anybody that I was a Christian, because I was ashamed that they might laugh and scoff at me. And I said, "Lord, please help me to tell someone that I'm a Christian." And a couple of days in, I met this young man called Bob. And we were just talking, and he said, "What were you doing at the weekend?" And I was like, "Oh, on Saturday, I was playing my PlayStation, watching TV, and then on Sunday, I went to church." And he's like, "Oh, what church do you go to?" And I says, "I go to Crossgar Presbyterian." He goes, "Oh, are you a Christian?" "So am I." Just like that. You see, the Lord had opened the door for me. And it was wonderful because we had many great times. And really, in our class of 25, we were the only two Christians in the class. But it gave us opportunity to be a witness for God. You see, not only had I told someone that I was a Christian, but I was able to tell my whole class that I was a Christian. And you know, all through those times, the Lord helped me with wisdom and knowledge to do my studies. But He also gave me some great times and fun times. Like going through the McDonald's drive-thru in the wheelchair. And I'll not go into that now, but you can ask me about it later. And I had many great times, and I knew that the Lord's hand was upon me even then. And after I finished college, I knew that I wanted to go to university to study. And I knew that I had to really seek the Lord in this matter, and that He would help me and undertake for me. But around that time, just before I started university, when I was at college, I turned 16. And because of my disability, they allowed me to learn to drive early. So instead of being 17, they allowed me to start to learn to drive when I was 16. And I was like, "This is the best news ever." Because I was just interested in getting my driving test. And if anybody knows me, you'll know that I'm a little bit of a car fanatic. I like my cars. And whenever I turned 16, I was like, "Dad, it's brilliant. I'm going to learn to drive, and I'm going to get my driving test and get a car and get on the road." But because of my disability, I had to go for an extra test over and above the normal test that you do, just to make sure that I could operate a vehicle and do all the necessary things that you have to do. And I was like, "Dad, this will be no problem at all, because I am like Michael Schumacher. Even though I had never driven a car in my life, still, Dad, it'll be fine. I am Michael Schumacher. All will be well. We'll go into this test. They'll just ask me a few questions. I'll pass it, and it'll be brilliant." So I went in, and I did it, and it was awful. It just, everything that could have went wrong, went wrong. And the man at the centre, he said, "Hi, you're going to be able to drive a car, but you're going to have to drive an automatic," which just means a car that changes the gears itself. But for me, this was the worst news in the world. Because at the time, Subaru, the car maker, they had the rally car, and they only made the Subaru Impreza in a manual. And all I was worried about was that I would never be able to drive a Subaru Impreza, rather than just being able to drive itself. I was just so worried about what car I was going to be able to drive. You see, I didn't look at the good news that the man had said that, "This car, you're going to be able to drive." I was worried about the car. But you see, all things work out for good. Because if anybody knows me, they'll know that I'm quite fond of going to Port Stewart. And I would be up in Port Stewart at Easter time. And if you know Port Stewart at Easter time, it's quite busy. And there's many young men driving around Port Stewart in their cars. And they'll be queued quite considerably on the Tuesday. And through that week, really, Easter Tuesday. But you see, a lot of people complain about being in the traffic, because they have to clutch all the time with their left leg. So they have to clutch to operate the car. But you see, because I drive an automatic, I don't have a clutch. So I can drive round Port Stewart for as long as I want without having a sore leg. So you see, it's funny just how all these things work out. But that's a funny story. But there is a meaning to it. And it is that cars had become my idol when I was 17 and 18. I was so obsessed with how my car looked, or I was going in my car, that I forgot God. And whenever I turned 18, I crashed my first car, and it was written off. But that was a real lesson to me, because I had let the world's pleasures become my pleasures, and the car had become my idol. And I still struggle with that, but as it says in Exodus 20:3, do not have any other gods before me. You see, God comes first in all things. It's only because God that I was able to get my down test and have a car and to be privileged in a privileged position. And I abused that, and the Lord taught me a lesson because I had to put Him first in everything. But after college, I decided to go to university, and I decided to do web design because I thought that was pretty cool. And it was around this time that I said to myself, I says, Lord, You really helped me when I was at school and college, so please help me now. Please help me to find a Christian friend or someone that I can confide in, and just somebody that I can find. And the first couple of days, I was praying, Lord, please help me find someone. And I seen this guy, and he came up to me, and I said something to him, and he replied, I'm going to knock you out. Now, I can't remember what I said to him, but it was just some joke, like, how's it going, or, are you nervous? And he was like, I'm going to knock you out. And he was sort of dressed in sports gear, and he had a white hat peeked out like this, and he was sort of a hard man. And I was like, I don't know about him at all. And I started to talk to him, and I said, where are you from? And he's like, I'm from the Rockhill Estate. And I was like, right, okay. And I wasn't sure if I should really be friends with him, because I was worried that I would find my wheelchair with the wheels off it on breeze blocks, and he'd be away with them. So I was really unsure of this young man. And that was okay, and I talked to him another few days, and then the next week came, and we'd been given some work to do, and I was completing my work in the library, and of course, me being into cars, it was something in cars, and I was working on the computer, and I noticed this young man, and his name was Raymond. I had found out his name at this time, and I said to him, I was looking at his computer, and he was working away, and then all of a sudden, what appeared on the screen was Belfast City Mission. And I was like, oh, that's a bit strange. Well, I went over to him and I said, what are you working on? And he's like, he says, mate, this is my project. It's for the Belfast City Mission, because I go there because I'm a Christian. And I just couldn't believe it, because I had been looking on his outward appearance rather than looking on his heart. You see, Raymond was a Christian, and he was 18, and he had just got saved 2 years previous. And you know, the Lord had opened that door that we would become friends. And you know, we're still friends. We finished our degrees together, and that was tough in 2007, and that was really tough for me. I really struggled, but the Lord gives us strength. It says in Psalm 91, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And for me, that's such a blessing, because I can't really run or walk, but with the Lord, I can do it, because I won't be weary and I won't be faint, because the Lord is at my side. And He blessed me, and I was able to graduate with a 2-1, and then I went on to do a master's degree at Dar College in Belfast. And then I took a year out, and I worked for myself. And then I always had this desire, maybe to go to university again. I'm just really the eternal student. I just really like being a student, it seems. But I had really this desire to go and do a PhD or a doctorate. And I had this great idea that if I was ever somewhere and somebody would say, is there a doctor in the house? I could say, yes, there is. But then they would say, is it a medical doctor? And I'd be like, no, it's not. But I went and I toyed with this idea for a year about going to do my doctorate. And I really, really struggled. And I says, Lord, I just don't know what to do. Please, help me. When I studied my scriptures and I prayed, and I was waiting for the Lord just to open a door for me to whether I should do this or not. And then one night I was in church, and Mr. Liam was speaking about Peter, and how Peter stepped off the boat. Now Peter took his eyes off Jesus, and he sunk into the sea. But this point was that Peter was the first to step off the boat. Peter had the faith to step off the boat. And that was me. And I was saying, I was waiting for answers, but I didn't have the faith to just put in my application. So I says, Lord, this is what You want me to do. You want me to step off the boat. So I applied, and to do a PhD, it's no easy task. You just don't go and think that you can do it. It's a rigorous process. And I applied to do my PhD, and I filled in the form and I sent it off. And then I had an interview then, and I went through that process. And he says, Lord, if it's in your will that I'm to do this, you open the door, Lord. It's all up to you. You open the door for me. And I came, it takes about 6 to 8 months. And I came to the end, and at this point I had actually started to work in the university, just as a researcher. And the man who I was dealing with, the professor, he came to me and he says, Kyle, I've got news about your PhD application. You haven't been successful at this time. And I says, that's okay. That's fine. I'm happy about that. Because the Lord doesn't want me to do that. And I was happy, and I had got a job as a researcher, and things were going well. And I was content. And a week later, I was away getting a sneaky coffee, and my professor came, the guy I was working with, came, and he was coming down, running down the mall at Jordanside, and he says, where have you been? And I was like, I was just getting a coffee. I'm going to back work, I'm going to do work now. I'll come now and help you with a VNE. He goes, no, it's okay. He says, I got news about your PhD. You've been accepted. Someone has dropped out. And that was so, I just couldn't believe it. You see, the Lord had closed the door, and then the Lord had opened the door. But he had done it himself. It was nothing that I had done. The Lord had closed it and then opened it so that I would know that it's his will. And now I'm doing my PhD at Jordanstown. And somebody said to me recently, they said, you must be quite smart. And I was like, no, I'm not. I wouldn't class myself as a smart person at all. All I can say is, it's from the Lord. The Lord has guided me and helped me in every step of my life. You know, he made me with cerebral palsy. But you know, he's given me opportunity with that. And with my, because I'm a web designer, whenever I was doing my master's degree, I was able to create a project called the Disability Heroes. It's disabilityheroes.com. And it's to teach children about disabilities using superhero characters. But if I hadn't have been disabled, I wouldn't have been able to have that experience to do that. And the Lord has given me that opportunity. And then the Lord now has went and given me the opportunity to do a PhD and to do that. And you know, I just give praise to God, because it's through him that he has done all these things. But friends, you might say to me tonight, Kyle, that's wonderful, all the things that the Lord has done for you. But it's okay that it's brilliant that you got saved. But you see, I'm different, because you have cerebral palsy, a disability, but I don't have that. But friend, you have something far worse than a disability, and that is sin. Because sin separates us from God. It means that if you have sin in your heart, you can never be in the presence of God. You can never get to heaven. You have to realize that you're a sinner and trust in him. And really trust in his name. And you know, it says in John chapter 1, in verse 38, the Lord Jesus Christ says, what seek ye? And what seek ye in your life? What do you seek? Do you seek the things of the world? The pleasures of the world? But friend, I say, put those things away. And just like the Lord Jesus says in verse 39 of John chapter 1, he says, come and see. Why don't you come and see what the Lord can do for you? All you have to do, friend, is just like the Lord Jesus says in verse 43, is to follow me, or follow the Lord Jesus. Because if you put him first in your life, he will... It's just... I can't even put it into words. If you put the Lord Jesus first, he will help you in all that he can. And the Christian life is not easy, but it's the best, because you have a friend there with you every step of the way. And that's what I need in my life. I suffer from sometimes anxiety and worry about my studies, but I know that I can come to the Lord. Because like it says in Psalm 12, just at the start, it says, help, Lord. And I can cry unto the Lord and he can help me. But you can only receive that if you trust in the Lord Jesus and accept him as your Savior. Because it says in John 3 and 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Will the wrath of God abide with you, or will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have everlasting life? Just like this little quote says, Life is the time God gives you to determine who you spend eternity. How will you spend eternity, friend? With him or without him? Amen.
Thank you very much, Kyle, for coming tonight and sharing your testimony with us. Really appreciate that. And we have been blessed in so many ways. And I think it's true to say we've been challenged and the Lord has spoken. We trust that if you're not a Christian tonight, that you will take heed to the things that have been spoken and consider where you'll be. He read that beautiful psalm, the Psalm of David, 139. And I was just looking at the text that says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." To think that the Lord has thoughts towards mankind. He has thoughts towards the sinner. Before we've ever thought of the Lord, his mind and thought was upon us. And in Christ we have a great provision. This morning we preached on a man who was sick, and his sickness was a palsy. And I couldn't help but think of Kyle coming later on in the day to this very meeting. But that condition that the centurion's servant had was a very serious condition, and is a picture of those who are without Christ and still in your sin. And you can't walk before God. You can't rise up yourself to meet him. You need grace, the triumph of divine grace in your life, just as it worked in Kyle's life. The man was sick. He was grievously tormented. He was ready to die. In his condition, he was going to die. And my friend, we're all going to die. We're all going to go out into eternity. The problem for some is you're not ready to die. You're not ready to meet the Lord. But there was a man who prayed for his servant in that condition. And I just want to let you know tonight, there are folks praying for you. Before this meeting commenced, we had a prayer meeting. And there were people in prayer for you tonight, that the Lord would save you, bring you to Christ. And I trust with all my heart that prayer will be heard and prayer will be answered, that the Lord will speak the word to your heart and cause you to rise up from your bed of spiritual sickness and set you free from your malady. May you come to know the Saviour. So thank you, Kyle, for coming tonight.